In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this particular Monday, we have the great opportunity to take a look at what happened right there in those few moments before our Lord is handed over, as we experienced on the Passion part of Palm Sunday. Here we see our Lord there in Bethany. And what is Bethany for our Lord? We've spoken upon it in many occasions about what actually goes on in Bethany, but do you recall what Bethany is? It's just a little place on the hill just above Jerusalem. On the way, in fact, from between Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and there you go to Jerusalem. And so it's from that point where Jesus was accustomed to take retreat to be with good people. And any time you hear about Bethany, when you read about it in the spiritual literature or the writings of the saints, the goal is to remind those devout souls who are trying to draw near to Jesus that Bethany is a place of retreat, and so our hearts are intended to become a Bethany for Jesus, a place where Jesus can take rest. It's something for you and I to meditate upon each and every time we receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Lord, I want my heart to be a Bethany for you. So whatever it is in there that's distracting to you, anything in there that would make you uncomfortable, Lord, kick that out of my soul so that when I receive you in Holy Communion, it may be a Bethany for you, where you can go for repose before the difficult things that in so many other places in the world and so many other hearts of those people who you have created are not Bethanies. Let my heart be a Bethany for you, a place of blessed repose for you. Here in Bethany at this time, our Lord is relaxing at that common house where he always was there, the house of Mary, whose brother was Lazarus, whose sister was Mary, or rather it's the house of Martha, where Mary resided, and her brother Lazarus was also a part of that household. The ointment which Mary came and spilled so profligately or extravagantly upon our Lord that day has some symbol to it. For when he was anointed with this perfume, with this oil that is there, it is also known as in the spiritual literature as a perfume of justice. It's a thing of justice that is done to our Lord in this way, this spikenard, this very costly thing. And so it was in particular a thing of justice that he was cared for in this way because he is the recipient of justice. Ointment is a figure of justice because it is something that would be weighed within the scales, as it said that there was a pound of that thing. So it was a just thing to give him everything that is there. The word for the perfume, spikenard, is how we say it in English. It comes from the Greek word, I'd botch it if I said it, but it starts with a P. And what the literature speaks about that word is that the root of that word is where we get the word faith from, pisteo. Pisteo, you can think of it if you're into philosophy, like Elisa is at school, it'd be epistemology, which is the study of how we know things, how we come to understand things, how can we know anything that exists. So pisteo is also a root word of the word faith. And so it is meaningful for you and I that this costly fume that was imported was something that is for us signifying faith, so that whoever would want to do justice should know that they should live by faith, as it speaks about in the scriptures. The just will live by faith. And so if we wish to do justice to the Lord, to allow our faith to be the very thing which is due to him, that's what is due to the Lord in our virtue of religion toward him. What else do we find out about this particular spikenard that is there? It says it perfumed the whole of the house. Filled the whole house with this great perfume, this great smell that was there. And so we see from this that these works of faith, that injustice are due to God, should be the very perfume of the whole of our lives. When we live our lives in a just way, where we profligately lay out everything before the Lord and give him of our whole self, which we'll speak about in a moment in Spanish, then that should be something that would go before us. And others, as it speaks about in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, he says, let your good works so shine before men that they may see them. And by seeing those good works which you do, give glory not to you yourselves, but to your Father in heaven who works out those great works of faith, who gave you that faith and to whom you are doing this justice of service to him through. We see so much to be found here within these particular readings for you and I, particularly that they happen right before our Lord enters into his passion. We'll speak just a little bit about that in Spanish to conclude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Fijémonos en María de Betania. María solo presentaba atención a Jesús. Su única motivación era mostrarle respeto. Sus acciones no le parecieron extravagantes, como verter sobre Jesús todo un fracaso de precioso perfume. Algunos de los presentes murmuraron contra ella. ¿Por qué este derroche? No se podía haber vendido el ungüento y haber dado el precio a los pobres. Pero María no dijo nada ni pulso excusas. Completamente absorta en su adorado maestro, María continuó su obra de devoción y amor por Jesús. María es para nosotros el símbolo del alma enamorada de Dios. Es un gran símbolo para nosotros. Es el alma que se entrega exclusivamente a Él, Jesús. El alma que deja que Jesús consuma todo lo que ella es y todo lo que ella tiene. María es símbolo para nosotros de aquellas almas que renuncian total o parcialmente la actividad exterior para consagrarse más plenamente al servicio inmediato de Dios y entregarse a una vida de unión más íntima con Él. Esta consagración total al Señor es considerada un despilfarro por quienes no la comprenden, aunque la misma ofrenda. Si se dedicará a algún fin mundano, por ejemplo científico, o económico o político, este sacrificio no causaría queja alguna entre esas personas. Si todo lo que somos y tenemos es don de Dios, puede ser un despilfarro sacrificarlo en su honor, el honor de Dios. Y si actuando así podamos reparar la indiferencia de innumerables almas que rara vez o nunca piensan en Dios, ¿es realmente un despilfarro? Entonces, el dinero, el tiempo, la fuerza e incluso las vidas humanas empleadas en el servicio inmediato del Señor están lejos de ser vidas perdidas. Cada vez gasta por Jesús alcanza la perfección de su ser. Jesús mismo sale en defensa a María diciendo, déjela que guarde este perfume para el día de mi sepultura. Así vemos su valor en las palabras de Jesús. En nombre de todos los que amen a Jesús, María rindió al cuerpo sagrado de Jesús antes de que fuera desfigurado por la pasión, el homenaje supremo de un amor y una devoción ardientes. Podríamos pedir a Dios ahora mismo este mismo ardor, es decir, este mismo deseo y empuje ardientes. Para adorar a Jesús en esta misa hoy, ¿qué necesitamos para prepararnos para el Jueves Santo que viene? El corazón de María de Betania es perfecta devoción que Jesús desea. Y estas almas devotas que hacen regalos extravagantes al Salvador serán recordados para siempre en el corazón de Jesús. Y es decir, este privilegio no les será arrebatado. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.